Rec Sports Saturday is on the air.
And it's shaking, Big Ten.
Your chance to sound off.
On Sunday, I want to be able to sit down, watch the football game, and with the buddy that I disagree with politically, and not have to talk about politics.
Join the show anytime, 701-271-1100.
I got a guy on the other line about some white walls.
Or you can drop us a line, studio@flagfamily.com.
You don't have what they call the social skill.
It's time to talk sports.
It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Here on Flag Sports Saturday.
Good morning, everyone. I'm James McCarty alongside Jay Stenman, Spencer Jost running the board for us. I am so unbelievably excited because yesterday kicked off a brand new high school football season, and that means that we're getting closer to normal life again.
Absolutely, and you know, fall comes, and for whatever reason, I mean, granted, it's probably going to kick up to about 90 degrees here in the next week or two again, just because that's how the weather works up here.
Exactly.
But when the weather drops down to mid-70s, there's that crisp fall air, and football is you know, toe meets leather, as they say, and the game gets underway. It was a good thing to have last night, checking the scores, listening to you guys on the broadcast last night. Good job last night on the broadcast. It was a lot of fun to have high school football back, and I can't wait for more high school football in the near future.
And that's just what we're going to do. I love it. We're set up for about two games a week until basketball season and then all the way through the school year.
Two football games?
A football game and for sure one volleyball.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody knew because otherwise they'll be like, wow, that's a lot of football.
Man, well,
what games do you know that we don't know?
If the EDC is listening, if they want to stagger Friday, Saturdays, I'd be fine with it.
I would be totally down for that.
Isn't that what the NFL's doing? They got games pretty much all week.
I don't know that. I personally don't know if I've seen the schedule, but that was a discussion because
they were talking about it.
Because if there's not going to be any college football during the fall, that there's a potential they could do a Friday night, some Saturday games, Sunday, really kind of space things out to take advantage of, you know, the TV market.
So am I hearing an EDC Thursday night football clash every week now? Is that what we're getting at? Or the Monday night game of the week?
Thursday, Friday night, Saturday night, and Monday night. I mean, I'm down for it.
Should each team, we just try to alternate one each day of the week?
We're over here in the EDC, and there's basically four games a week in the EDC.
Exactly.
So, you know, you just need four nights. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Monday. So let's do it.
I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I call Friday night games. They're just better.
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Can't beat that, man.
I don't care. I'll do all of them, man.
I don't care who you ask.
Yeah, but Mondays are like, oh.
Exactly.
You know. Well, you got to have something to look forward to on a Monday when you've just gone through your work day and it's just like, hey, there's football tonight. Let's go.
That 2
exactly.
o'clock feeling.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's us or the NFL guys. They all say it's just different on the Friday night lights.
That's
true.
It
hits differently.
It does.
All your buddies when you're 15, 16 years old and you run out of that tunnel as the sun's setting and
thinking you're just the best team out there, the best guy.
Exactly. Well,
but it's a good feeling, though. That's what you need.
Especially growing up in a smaller town. I mean, that's the entire town is there. I mean, when you got the whole 2,000 people there,
that
it's
would
just different.
Pressure for me. I remember, you know, in high school, in the big city, we were, you know, we blended in. But you got everyone in town. That's, you got to show up.
Exactly. And we did for the most part. Only one home loss in the high school career, so it just happened to be on a homecoming game.
Oh my gosh.
Well, if you gotta lose one game, tough.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the thing was we lost it.
Oops. Wow. That was a loud
and the loss, so
oh good for you.
Oh boy, thank you. We lost an onside kick that was accidental. We were down 4 points, and
how do you lose it accidentally?
so we were down. They scored, and it was 30-26.
Right,
with they were kicking. You know, about 3 minutes left in the game, and their stud running back was also their kicker. What? I mean, this kid had refrigerators for legs. Trying to tackle this kid, it was just stupid. Anyways, it just
a kicker punter.
I hurt the next day. We'll just put it that way. But he went to do a squib kick, and he basically whiffed on it. And it just went end over end, a couple of quick little hops, and he came just barreling through and recovered it, and they ran out the clock. And I was like, you've got to be kidding
me. You just know the bigger they are, the harder they fall, man.
Well, I mean, you're talking, I mean, the kid.
You got to sacrifice a shoulder maybe here and there.
Exactly. He was about a good 6'1", 230, just an absolute beefcake out there.
A guy that you need.
Beefcake.
You look at your buddy like, all right, I need your help.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if you're thinking about it, with West Fargo there last night, Casey Ortiz.
Oh, I know.
He's a defensive tackle and apparently one of the best running backs in the state of North Dakota. Well, the game, absolute stud.
While you were covering it, I was able to watch it on TV and stuff. And, you know, I see him. I'm like, wow, you know, that guy's, because I think he sacked the quarterback, North's quarterback. And then I'm hearing him listening to you and I'm like, the running back. I'm like, that guy plays defense, though. Like, you can't be a running back in a defensive line. Like,
well, I was out walking the dog at the time, so I come back and I turned on the television broadcast to go with your guys' audio. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw Casey Ortiz, I was like, holy cow.
I don't even want to tackle him.
Well, I mean, the one run in the second half where he ran to the left and got pushed out of bounds and he gained about a yard on it.
Yeah.
When that play happened, he just shrugged off, you know, a tackler. And then the play after that, when he got hit in the backfield for a 5-yard loss.
Yeah.
And then another kid came in to try and tackle him, and he basically, that freed him from the original tackler, and then he rolled to his right and was rumbling down the field. And
that was, I mean, it ended up being a penalty, and it pushed him back. But one of my favorite plays of the night was it was a sweep left, and he got hit by the corner, who was, keeping him on 100 pounds, you know, lighter than him. So he just hit him, and it was just like, oh, no, I'm in trouble. And, like, two or three more Spartans come in trying to take him down.
Yeah.
And he just basically throws him to the ground and then turns direction and goes to the right-hand side. I bet you the kid ran 45 yards in that play.
Yeah.
And it was a 5-yard gain until that holding penalty came and pulled him back 10 more.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just a tough time for him.
I'd like to see what they're going to have him do in, you know, the goal line situations later in the season and, you know, the Wildcat. You know, do something fun.
There we go.
You got Toby Gerhardt right back there. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where you can line up in that power eye formation, put him at fullback as a lead blocker, or do you just give it to him right away on the dive play?
Yeah.
And then if you got him running the ball, why not take another lineman and put him at fullback and have the jumbo backfield? You know,
who was the Bears that did that?
William the Refrigerator.
Yeah. With the Refrigerator. No. Yeah, those are. I thought about bringing it up yesterday, but I didn't know if that would like date me a little bit or
that actually was during my time, Spencer.
That was not my time. I wasn't even this thought.
Kids today don't know Refrigerator Perry.
Oh, boy. That's tough to hear right there.
Back in my day, I used to walk up the hill both ways to school.
Oh,
yeah, I used to walk a mile down the road.
In the snow. No shoes. We had boxes on our feet.
My favorite one's when you walk both ways uphill, home and to school, and it's just like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And you believe it till you're like 8 or 9 years old, and then you think about it.
You're like, how could it be
up? How is that even possible?
Those kids tell their friends, like, yeah, my parents did this. I'm a tough guy.
Exactly.
I'm from tough parents. And they're like, no, dude, it's science, man.
And
you pay attention in class.
In just a few minutes here, we're going to welcome NDSU AD Matt Larson. We're going to talk a bunch of high school college football today, including the big Bismarck Legacy game that happens tonight on ESPN 2. It's not ESPNU. They moved it to 2.
They don't have enough programming or what?
I'm going to go with that we had good football, but you might be onto something there.
Well, I think what it is not everyone has you. You know what I mean? That's a good game to watch.
Exactly. It'll
they
be
don't
fun.
Have they don't have us? Well, that's very nice of you to say, Spencer.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I think after what just transpired there, it's time to talk some scores. That's just what we're doing at this point. The Saturday Morning Scoreboard is brought to you by Advanced Business Methods, your home for all the tools and office systems you need to make your team a winner. And in EDC action last night, West Fargo Cheyenne absolutely dismantled Grand Forks Red River 34-9. The game that we had, West Fargo, Fargo North, very low scoring, good defensive battle. There were some mistakes on both ends, but it was a fun game overall. And to win the game on a stop 2-point conversion,
that was pretty exciting. The funny part was you say there was a few mistakes, so there was like 7 turnovers, but first game of the season.
There was 4 turnovers in the first quarter. It was hold on to the rock, as they would say.
Yes,
you need to. West Fargo won that 14-12. Davies got the better end of Grand Forks Central, 42-28. Shanley and South decided defense was optional in a 50-34 Shanley victory. And in the WDA on the western side of North Dakota, Mandan took down Minot, 33-14. Bismarck High over Williston in just demolition, honestly, 49-7. And then Jamestown edged out Dickinson, 28-21. The Lynx ended up beating the Dream,
88-79.
And we have Tom Hoagie. Give me just a sec here. Of course, it refreshed on me. He's one under.
And that puts him... He's making the cut?
I hope so.
Also today, NHL, NBA. Obviously, your Minnesota Twins all resume play today. NHL, Tampa takes on Boston. They lead that series 2-1. Philadelphia, New York Islanders tied at 1. Vegas, Vancouver both are also tied at 1 game apiece. The NBA starts back up today. Game 5 of Milwaukee-Orlando with Milwaukee up 3-1. Oklahoma City and Houston tied at 2. Potentially have Russell Westbrook back for their series resuming tonight. And then Portland and L.A. Portland without Damian Lillard. Lakers lead that series 3-1. And then a twin bill for your Minnesota Twins. Twinning, as we like to say.
I like that.
They play at 12-10 today and 3-10 against the Detroit Tigers. Let's see if the Twins can get back on another winning streak.
Exactly. Seven-inning doubleheader. And excuse me, Amy Olsen yesterday was one under. Uh-huh. And right now through seven holes, she's up 3. So she's plus 2 total at the moment. Tom Hoagie is plus 4 through 2 rounds, tied at 23rd. And, excuse me, Amy is tied for 134th. But, I mean, when you're looking at the leader
close,
is 2 under.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're all very much clumped in that 4 or 5 strokes right there. So, we also did get to see Matt Strom last night. He pitched his first inning in a week, struck out a couple of guys, made everybody look silly, and said, hey, you know what? I don't care if I pitch every night or once a week. I'm going to make y'all look goofy because that's just what I do. And I absolutely love it.
Well, like how you just said it, he came in for the first time in a week.
Yeah.
Struck out a couple guys for an inning.
Exactly. He just comes in and gets the job done, goes home, enjoys himself, hangs out with the dogs, and that's all there is to it.
There you go. That's the way to do it.
You always score big when you call on the business pros at Advanced Business Methods in West Fargo. They have all the business systems you need to keep your office running at peak performance. They'll make you a winner, copy, fax, scan, and collate like a pro. With great prices and world-class customer service, take it from us. They are your best solution for office systems with all the financing options you need. Advanced Business Methods, your winning team for office systems. Call them at 701-282-3151 or stop in and see them at 1515 13th Avenue East and West Fargo, online at abmnow.com. We're going to take a short break, come back with NDSU AD Matt Larson, because word on the street has that we have a football game coming up here in about a month.
October 3rd.
And we are excited for that. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag. Welcome back to Flag Sports Saturday on this beautiful Saturday morning. James Licardi, Jay Stenman, Spencer Jost, and we are pleased to welcome one of the biggest celebrities in town, NDSU AD Matt Larson. How are you doing today?
Hey guys, good morning. I appreciate you having me on. Probably a little much for biggest celebrity, but maybe very, very small. But no, appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with us. The first question, of course, I have right off the bat for you. We have that game locked in October 3rd against Central Arkansas. Was it one of those things? I know a couple weeks ago we had decided, hey, we're not going to have a season. NDSU did. Did they approach you guys about it, or did you kind of see, hey, they're playing a schedule, we should try and get a game in?
Well, you know, we had some conversations with them early on when we were looking to play 3 non-conference games. And, you know, once we decided to kind of take a pause and just reevaluate things, you know, then we're presented with some different information that, you know, as we continued to talk, it just made more sense for us to try to play at least one game. And so then I reached out to their AD and to see if the dates still worked, and they did. And, you know, we were able to make it work, and more so we were able to get a 3-game series out of it, which benefits us down the road as well. So worked well on both fronts, and so excited to be able to get that on the schedule.
Yeah, that sounds great. And do we get any extra practice time due to the fact that now there's a live game on the schedule? Can the guys get out there, throw in the pads a little bit more, and get those extra reps that is very much needed this time of the year?
We do, and that was part of the motivation. You know, for teams competing, you get, you know, 20 hours a week that to be able to lift, practice, watch film, as opposed to teams that aren't competing, you're going to get much fewer opportunities. And so it gave us a great opportunity to say, hey, let's get out there, let's get better, you know, get some of our young guys better. Also an opportunity to honor our seniors. And so it just made a lot more sense from a football perspective and in terms of trying to get better and getting prepared in preparation for our spring season. So to be able to be out there 20 hours a week with our guys for the next 6 weeks just made a lot of sense to us.
So is it going to end up acting this game against Central Arkansas as a senior night for those guys, being able to honor them since we do have that game now?
We do. We're going to honor our seniors that night. We have some seniors who before all this happened had planned to graduate in December, and so there's a fair amount of them that may not or may decide not to play in the spring, and so they've given so much to the program. So it's just a great opportunity for us to be able to honor them in front of the fan base, and you know, for a lot of them, it's going to be their last game.
Matt, Jay Stenman here, kind of pinballing off of what James just said. Obviously, it's going to be a chance to honor the seniors that are graduating in December that are potentially not going to be playing in the spring season. Is there any plans from NDSU to kind of treat this game not only as a senior night but also as homecoming? Because it's the only game in the fall, and traditionally homecoming is in the fall. So do you foresee NDSU
using
this?
Well, we probably won't do a homecoming. I know we've campus and even us as an athletics department and the foundation have canceled a lot of the homecoming festivities. And more so just because we're going to be limited capacity in the Fargo Dome. It's just a unique opportunity, you know, or a unique situation where, you know, a lot of large events can't be held. We canceled our Hall of Fame. And so we'll probably maybe try to do something similar in the spring with 8 games there. Maybe there's an opportunity to, in the hopes that we're going to have greater capacity, is to try to do some things with alumni and different groups maybe sometime in the spring.
Now, the other follow-up question I had about the contract with Central Arkansas, obviously it's a 3-game series you guys got. They're coming up here this year. They're coming up here again in a couple years. Then you're finally going to go down there, I think, in like 2025. How important was it to get it as a 3-game contract as opposed to just a one-off?
Well, it was important for us just because scheduling sometimes is incredibly difficult. You know, to try to get games years out. And so, you know, when an opportunity presented, you know, to Central Arkansas's credit, I mean, they've been a top 25 program here for the last 5 or 6 years. And so to be able to lock up a 3-game series, just in general, but be able to do it with a quality football team was important for us. And so now as we go out with some of the announcements we had later, earlier this week as well about, you know, rescheduling North Carolina A&T and Drake for 22 is, you know, we're solid now through 22. And then adding Central Arkansas in 23, we just need 2 more games that year. So scheduling, it's one of those things where we're doing it years out and trying to be as aggressive as we can with that, but it becomes incredibly difficult, in large part just because of our success. And so
with this being one of these kind of unforeseen type years when it comes to having COVID-19 and testing with the guys, is – the testing with coronavirus, how much does that kind of cost, and what does that entail? How often do they have to get tested? Looks like we're having a little bit of technical difficulty there with Matt.
Now I hear you, Matt.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Awesome. So the last question I just kind of brushed up on quick was, how often do the guys have to get tested for coronavirus, and what type of an effect does that have cost-wise on the program?
Well, the NCAA came out with what they call their resocialization of sport plan, and it basically is a guideline for every single sport, depending on whether you're a low, medium, or high contact sport. And a large part of that is testing protocols. And so once in season, players are expected to be tested on a weekly basis. So right now we actually had a testing on Wednesday. We'll test them again in 2 weeks, and then the 2 weeks leading up to the game on October 3rd, they'll be tested both of those weeks. And, you know, we've been fortunate. We've had a great partnership with Cass County Department of Health. They've handled, administered all of the testing so far to date at no cost to NDSU or the athletics program. And so incredibly fortunate and a huge shout out and thanks to them for, one, it's for handling it all, but just the way they do it. The National Guard administers a lot of it. They've been unbelievable. It's been a great relationship with them as well, and so we've been incredibly fortunate. And so we'll test probably 3 to 4 times before we kick off on October 3rd.
And when it comes to a guy getting tested, one of your players, if they were to test positive, is it one of those things whereas they have to test negative two consecutive times, or they just have to take the full 2 weeks to quarantine themselves?
Well, no, the way we've done it, you really can't test your way out of a positive. I know some other organizations do that. We don't do that here in the state of North Dakota. And so typically the way it works is if somebody's positive, usually then it's 10 days that you have to be quarantined or in isolation from the date of the positive test before then you can return. And so which is interesting because if you're a positive, you only have to stay out 10 days. If you're a direct contact and potentially not a positive, you're out for 14 days. But that's the way it is, and we've been kind of following that by the letter because we have had some positives across multiple sports this summer, and so we've implemented those quarantine policies, and it's worked fine to date.
Now, Matt, what happens in the lead-up to this October 3rd game if there is a potential COVID positive test for one of the football players? Is that going to put the October 3rd game in jeopardy if it happens sometime next month? Or what are the plans to kind of keep this? Obviously, you've got plans to keep this from happening, but what happens if there is a kind of a COVID positive test for a number of players on the team?
Well, hopefully that's not the case. I mean, but we have seen throughout the summer that we've had, at times, multiple positives in the football program. And we followed all the protocols in terms of identifying who the direct contacts are, and those folks are removed from activity. And then we kind of continue to move forward. And so that would be our plan as well, unless there was a much larger outbreak across the team. But again, I think a lot of credit goes to our players and our coaches and our staff. They've been really vigilant about trying to be as safe as possible and mask up and try to have social distance as much as they can. And so, there's no reason why we won't continue that up until October 3rd, but we'll have policy or plans in place if we do get some positives as we have. But again, I think our intent with a 115-person roster, our intent is to play that game on October 3rd.
That sounds good. The final question that I have for you this morning is, when it comes to some big NFL talent prospects in Trey Lance and Dylan Radunz, are you planning on having them play still in this game? And if so, is it going to act as almost like a showcase for those guys showing the NFL kind of what type of talent we have up here in North Dakota?
Well, and I think Coach N said this perfect. He was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. Is, you know, at no point was this game about trying to showcase one or two players. It was. We thought it was in the best interest for our football program across the board to play a game. And so Dylan came out yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. Dylan came out, and he's going to play on October 3rd. And then his plans are to sit out in the spring and start training for the NFL. And as of right now, Trey has everything that he said to us is he's going to play this fall and this spring right now. So we'll see. You know, obviously things can change, but right now that's his plan. And so we're going to support those guys regardless of what they decide. But this game was more about the football program and not one or two individuals.
That's good to hear. I'm sure a lot of Bison fans are happy knowing that a couple of their favorite players right there are planning on playing here in the beginning of October. But thank you for a couple minutes of your time here this morning, Matt. I know you're a busy guy, especially with all this going down. I'm sure you're a hot commodity right now. But have a great rest of your weekend.
Hey, appreciate it, guys. Thanks.
Awesome. That was NDSU AD Matt Larson giving us the scoop on Bison football. And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to kind of dissect a little bit that game. I know Spencer has a couple thoughts on it, so I'm interested to see what he has to say on that. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag. To Flag Sports Saturday. I'm James McCarty. Jay Stedman's trying to stretch out here. He must have been a little sore from talking this morning.
I think I slept wrong.
Oh, there you go.
That's what happens when you get a little bit older, you know?
A little bit.
He sleeps in that chair.
Exactly. He gets kicked to the chair, and he didn't get the recliner last night. The dog got that one.
You fall asleep on the love seat, and the next thing you know, you get a kink in your neck, and you're just all kind of out of whack.
You gotta go to the doctor on Monday.
What'd you do? I slept wrong. How do you sleep wrong? I don't know. Somehow you forget when you get older.
And, of course, Spencer Joe's making us sound as beautiful as possible on this Saturday morning.
Absolutely.
Too kind.
But, yeah, so just going back to the last interview real quick, what Matt Larson was saying with scheduling and all of that, just like he said, Matt Entz was on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday, and he broke down a little bit with Dan Patrick on what the plans for NDSU's scheduling is, as of right now at least.
any chance of playing more than one game this year?
Well, originally, it was our intent when our conference allowed us to play three non-conference in the fall. Our administration was trying to find those three games, and we probably went through six or seven options, and it just became extremely difficult. As you see, our geographical location doesn't allow for many road or just bus trips to play people. And so we were fortunate to come up with the one game. You know, I know you mentioned it, 16-0 last year, but the one thing about NDSU, we got great tradition, great history. We play football here, and so we needed to have at least one game this fall.
Any Division I teams? I know you were slated to open up with Oregon, I believe, but any? Have you heard from any other schools that want to schedule you?
Not at this time.
That's very interesting right there. But another thing that's kind of interesting to me, so you're looking at the aspect of what Matt Larson, Matt Entz, they have a very tough job making sure not only do they want to keep this program successful and moving forward, but they also have to keep those young men safe.
Right.
And an aspect of, because about, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, it was very much season's canceled. We're going to get practice for this month, and we're just going to transition into off-season workouts until the spring season.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, a big flurry earlier on this week, and Central Arkansas is coming to town, and there's a three-game series set up for the next 5 years.
Yep.
So you're almost wondering if there may be something else in the works kind of in the background. I'm kind of curious about it.
There's always the potential for that. I think with these bigger conferences, the Power Fives that are currently scheduled to have a season still, like the SEC, the SEC, ACC, and is it Big 12?
Yes, they're all slated still.
So those three conferences are still slated, but those teams, I believe, most of them are doing like 10 games and maybe one non-conference. And if NDSU doesn't have something for, I guess, basically almost like next weekend or the weekend after that, which obviously would be hard to shoehorn that in all of a sudden, I don't think they're going to play anybody else other than Central Arkansas, because those bigger schools obviously have gotten their conference schedules lined up, and they got maybe one free week. So I don't know that they would want to try and squeeze in a game later in November or something against an FCS school. So I don't know that they'll add something unless there's something local that you can get a non-conference between a Montana State or something like that. But, you know, the way NDSU has kind of situated themselves in the FCS level, you're probably looking at teams coming to you as opposed to you going somewhere. You know, just kind of the reversal or the flip side of the FBS schools. They're the big school. They're the one handing the payout, so they can get these FCS schools to come to them. So NDSU is the big fish in a small pond. So I would say, think that if they're trying to get anything else, they would have another team come up here. But
exactly. I think it's kind of interesting, that whole one-game mantra. I go both ways on it. I really do. I like seeing that there's going to be a different colored jersey across from them,
right,
to see some of the younger talent, especially a handful of those freshmen that may get some time, just to see what they have, especially since this game really doesn't, you know, count much for or against NDSU, except for just seeing what the team's looking like this year going into the spring.
Right.
But on the other note, it's looking, and if you're planning so hard to have these guys grind it out and work for 6-7 weeks every single day like it's a season,
yeah,
and coming in with a season opening game, and then immediately after that game's over, have a quick press conference and slap that red pause button for about 3 to 4-ish months.
Yeah. I mean,
that's got to be hard on those guys putting the brakes on there and then going, what, one game? Okay, now we're going to sit in the weight room for 3 months, and then we're going to try and get back in. And I think it's going to be odd.
It will be. And something, I don't know what Spencer was alluding to, his thoughts on some of the stuff, but Matt Entz made that comment on Dan Patrick, just like they did in the press conference, that
exactly,
we play football at North Dakota State. And I get that, and you're the most dominant team in FCS history. But there's more sports at NDSU than just football. They've got a pretty good men's basketball program. Softball team is pretty good. They've got good wrestling. And also, I think you're sort of taken away from what NDSU is and what every college is that you're an institution for higher learning. Mm-hmm. So to mean to say that and say, well, we play football here. Well, yeah, there's a lot of schools that play football. So to just kind of hang your hat on that, it sort of feels like that's why they had to do it. And to say it's, you know, to some extent that it's not a showcase game for Trey and the offensive
Dylan
line.
Dylan Radon.
I don't know that that's completely honest, because I think I think that when you have a game like this, all eyes are going to be on you, not just because you're NDSU, but because of some of this talent that you're looking to see what they can do at the next level. Because we don't believe that Trey or Dylan will play in the spring. There might be some question as to whether or not those two guys even play in this showcase game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're setting yourself up. Trey is set up to be a first-round pick as it is right now.
Exactly.
So if you get hurt or if you have a poor showing, I mean, does that affect your draft stock? So it still feels like a showcase game, not only for just this top talent, but also to showcase university on ESPN and to get all eyes on your program, which helps with recruiting, which, you know, other teams in the area, the North Dakota, South Dakota, South Dakota State, they're not going to get that opportunity to really be in front of a nationwide audience like that.
Exactly. And real quick, before I let Spence do his thing, Ole and Lena's Pizzeria sponsoring trivia as usual at that 10 a.m. segment.
Oof-da.
And we have Bison Oof-da. Football trivia this weekend. All you have to do is call in to the studio line, 701-271-1100, and you have three questions. And I got a bonus one in there, a little fourth, just to help out some of those Bison fans. Exactly. It makes us just, if you can get an extra one right, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
But all you got to do, answer one of those right, and we send you $20 for Ole and Lena's Pizza. And I don't think anybody loses out on that except for the guys sitting in the studio that don't get the free pizza. But that's all right.
Oh,
good for you.
Where were you going with that?
The define free pizza. As long as you get to eat it, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm
somebody
saying.
Somebody else, America.
If somebody else buys it for you. You
know. Well, I suppose. Are you offering? Is that what I'm hearing?
Maybe.
All right. So, Spence, after the show, we hit up Ole and Lena's. Jason's paying. But before that.
Yeah, I need some lunch.
You have a couple of thoughts, from my understanding, on that one game Bison.
And here comes the Debbie Downer. I'm sorry. First and foremost, I am not going to make this political. I'm not going to get this. You know, if you want to wear a mask, go ahead. That's you. You know, if it saves lives, I'm all for it. But from what my understanding is, every fan that's in that game has to wear a mask. So that takes away from, you know, I get it because they're going to be limited.
Right.
But that does take away from the situation of, you know, the fan experience. And then also the, the no tailgating. So first off, the fan experience itself is, it is what it is. You know, you take away those aspects and, you know, you already got on limited seating.
Yeah. It's not going to be the same atmosphere.
No, but with the one game. I'm sorry, but it's just like, it's like going to gym for school and you got gym class once a week.
Well,
you know, you look out to.
I think it's a potential for them to get more practice time. Because you've got this one game, you're allowed more practice time to prepare for it. So it's putting NDSU that much farther ahead of some of these other schools that don't have one game this fall.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting right there. And then I don't know if we have a caller on the line right there or no. Nope, not anymore. All right. So we'll take a short break.
They were going to talk to you about your car's warranty.
Yeah, over 200,000 miles.
We've been trying to reach you.
Three times a week.
This car's been paid off sevenfold.
Exactly.
The warranty wore off 10 years ago, but hey, thanks for calling.
The three owners before me all paid it off as well, so I'm pretty sure the warranty hasn't transferred that many times.
Exactly.
So we're going to take a short break here, though, and come back, and we have a little high school North Dakota football to talk about.
Absolutely.
Which I'm super excited for, so stay tuned for that. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.
Sunset bills on my mindset. I can't deny it. Getting higher than my income. Income's breadcrumbs. I've been trying to survive. The glow that the sun gets right around sunset helps me.
Welcome back to Flag Sports Saturday. James McCarty, Jay Stenman, Spencer Jost. We're going to pivot right here in this last segment of the final hour. We're going to talk that Bismarck Century and Legacy game a little later on, because we have caller Chad on the line. How are you doing today?
Howdy. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Where are you calling from today, Chad?
Fargo.
Alrighty. What question do you have for us? I heard that you have some interesting questions.
Well, first of all, I mean, how are the kids? Are they going to basically sit there and go for the combine to for the you know, for drafting for football, I mean, they're going to go by their junior year, basically, or are they? I mean, are these kids going to want to play this spring and then possibly get hurt? Then they're all screwed for the NFL, or what's all going to go on that?
Chad, my opinion, and we've discussed this here kind of in the studio with each other, is that you know, top draft prospects like Trey Lance and Dylan, I think those guys, because they had planned on playing a season this fall originally, I would think that they would probably play in this showcase game, excuse me, this game against Central Arkansas. But when it comes to spring, I'm sort of leaning that those guys aren't going to play. They're going to want to protect their draft stock, especially a guy like Trey Lance, who could be a potential first rounder. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what you think about that, James.
Yeah, well, my perspective on it is I mean, a spring season, I think, is completely out of it. Just like Dylan Radon's already said, he's not going to play. And I'm on the fringe of, I don't know what internal talks have been, but with Trey Lance, even if you're looking at a couple of the mock drafts that they have out there, he's most of these analysts are having him as a top 15 pick as it is, and yeah. I don't think he has anything left to prove, except unfortunately if he plays, the risk of injury. So I think it would be in Trey's best interest, myself, to sit out along with Dylan. But if, I mean, they're dedicated to the program, let them do what they want to do, but I don't think they have anything to prove to improve either of their draft stocks here in this single game season. Yeah.
But as far as
what about Oregon? Are we going to get the game with the big boys, or is that going to be, you know,
not this season?
A lost thought.
No, I'm hoping that they restructure it, and that would be something. Whereas either this next fall or hopefully in a season or two from now they'd get it, but. In the spring, it is going to be a strictly conference schedule until the postseason. So it all depends on what happens the next couple months.
And the Pac-12, has already said that they're not playing this fall. So the game against Oregon this year is not going to happen. And like you said, James, if they can reschedule it for a year or two down the road, but schedules are usually set so far in advance. I mean, Matt Larson was just on basically saying that with the Central, or with a couple games they've recently confirmed, their schedule is set through 2022. So maybe 2023, maybe there's a potential to get back out there to Oregon or something. It's probably too soon to tell, but the ADs do such a good job of scheduling games. They have to schedule things 3, 4, 5 years out.
Exactly. So,
do you think they will, Nebraska will stay in the Big Ten since they really wanted to play, and the rest of the Big Ten schools that I wouldn't call them a name like a candy butt, but are they going to stay over there? Are they going to go to a different division, or what do you think?
I think they definitely stay 100% in the Big Ten. There's no doubt in my mind about that. There's a little bit of kind of almost like brotherly bickering back and forth between the couple of them, but I really see them staying, especially because there's such a big penalty against Nebraska if they were to want to leave the Big Ten that it would kind of derail the next couple seasons for them.
But
rumor has it that Arizona State wants to go in the Big Ten if everything goes lines and moons and everything else, because they have the hockey, they got all that stuff down. Is that going to happen? Or
I don't see that happening at all, but we are running a little bit short on time. Thank you for a couple minutes of your time today, Chad. We really do appreciate you calling in. We love hearing from you guys, but have a great rest of your weekend.
Yep. Thanks for your call, Chad.
Yeah, fine.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, as far as the structure of conferences, teams always shift conferences here and there, and there's always that shuffle amongst conferences, especially along the Power Five, and you get a new team to kind of move up and to go from a Pac-10 to a Pac-12. But as far as, like, Nebraska leaving and going back to the Big 12 and, say, having an Arizona State or somebody come in because they've got a hockey program, I don't really foresee that. I think the penalty's too big, and Nebraska, as much as I would like to see Nebraska back with the Big 12, because I grew up with, obviously, the big Nebraska versus Colorado games and Nebraska versus Oklahoma, Nebraska has always seemed like a Big 12 school to me, and so it's weird for them to be in the Big 10, but I think there's too much of a penalty that unless the Big 10 has another team that's going to come in and replace Nebraska, you know, and increase their geographical footprint, I don't see Nebraska leaving.
Exactly. It's one of those things where it just comes down to if it would be a mutual kind of breaking for both school, for the school and the conference. Yeah. And that's kind of what happened when Nebraska crumbled a little bit in the Big 12, and they were looking from, they basically were just looking to start over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they went, when they started over, they went to a conference that plays defense.
Yeah, exactly.
So they haven't, they've been sitting, you know, around that 500, 5-7, 7-5, 6-6, but we'll see, you know.
But speaking of the Big 12, Bismarck Century offensive lineman Andrew
Linegang.
Oh, that's yes. He goes on the Line Gang. I like that name.
He's a stud.
He signs with K-State to play football down there. I don't remember the last player from the Dakotas that has gone down there. Obviously, there was Ben Lieber, played for K-State. He went to high school in Vermilion, South Dakota, and obviously people that listen to 740 The Fan down in the cities are aware of him. But it's a big deal for one of the players from the upper Midwest to go to a Power 5 school. So,
yeah, but if it wasn't for who the head coach is, he wouldn't.
Well, that just
means he's
more tuned in to talent in North Dakota. Let's put it that way, right?
He's broadened the horizon, and you know, like I said, it brings Power 5 schools to this area.
Absolutely. Exactly. So congrats to him on choosing K-State and go down there with
go Wildcats.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic to have when we do have a few free minutes, maybe the next week
the
or
Wildcats?
Two.
Wildcats? Why is that?
No, with Andrew Lightning going down to Kansas State, was that due in part to Chris Kleiman doing a little cherry pick and saying, hey, I know there's some talent up here in North Dakota. There's some bigger schools. Let's get you some more looks. And at least for Andrew Linegang, congratulations to him. It worked out. I mean, he's a big kid.
Well, think about it, though. I mean, I know Chris Kleiman is going to have a loyalty to NDSU, et cetera, mm-hmm. but you know what? He's got a job to do.
Exactly.
And he's got to bring in talent to get that Kansas State team to try and be at the top of that conference to challenge the Oklahoma State. I'm running out of breath there.
Texas maybe again.
Exactly.
The next few years.
And so he's got to bring in whatever talent he can. I mean, sometimes your loyalty to your previous employer in a program you really helped build there, I mean, you're going to have to go and do what you got to do to bring in talent. So, you know, good for him of getting some homegrown talent from here. But, you know, Kleiman is familiar with the talent in the upper Midwest. So he's got a bigger platform and probably a few more scholarships to offer. So, you know, what kid up here is not going to want to have a chance to play in a Big 12 school? I mean, I granted, not saying they would.
But you got to think, though, too, like you were saying.
It's a bigger school. I get it.
He's closer to the South. You know, he got a lot of bigger talent, bigger kids. So, like, to come up back to the – because the whole feeling was – the Midwest is just a step below the other guys.
Yeah.
You know, so it's more or less, you know, we're country farmers, you know, we bale the hay and, you know, we're just offensive linemen up here. But, you know, we got some talent. It's just more of now it opens up, you know, oh, well, this kid should have got this scholarship, you know. So it's just, if anything, I think it gives more problematic to Klein.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and you're looking, Lange, he's a big kid, 6'5", about 270 right now.
Oh, he's going to bulk up down there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you're looking at that. But you're saying that's in high school. I mean, you put him on a K-State or a Power 5 regimen, and that's you get that kid adding another 25, 30 pounds of muscle.
Oh,
and
getting a little bit faster.
I already don't want to, you know, line up against him with pads on, let alone 30 pounds of muscle later here.
Having him get, you know, sign to agree to go to K-State and then also having the game on ESPN tonight, ESPN2, excuse me, that's a big deal for North Dakota talent.
That's prime time, too.
Absolutely.
8 p.m. kickoff, and I got a roast going at my house right now, and that is what we're doing all day. High school football.
What do you do? You watch
Spencer, did
game?
We get the dinner invite for that or not?
That's fine.
I didn't.
I don't know.
Do you remember when you said that you're paying for that pizza? You buy the pizza for lunch, and you're invited to dinner.
Oh.
It's a two-way street, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I love this. So we're going to come back with some Ole and Lena's trivia because we got to give away some free pizza. You're listening to Flag Sports Saturday on AM 1100, The Flag.